Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting straight into something really fundamental for modern web security. We're tackling Content Security Policy, or CSP.
That's right. It sounds technical, maybe dry, but stick with us. It's causing huge bottlenecks and exposure for businesses.
Yeah, if you're running any kind of large website, you know this pain. You're probably dealing with, what, hundreds? Maybe thousands of tags,
yeah.
Tracking pixels, analytics, all sorts of third-party scripts.
Exactly. And the difficult truth is every single one is a potential way in, a potential point of failure.
So your carefully built site ends up looking like, well, digital Swiss cheese, basically. Full of holes, open to attack, and often slower than it needs to be.
That's the perfect image, actually. Digital Swiss cheese. So our mission for you today really is simple. We want to demystify CSP. We'll cover what it is, why it's crucial, and not just for security, for performance too. And importantly, we'll get into the big challenges that stop people from actually using it effectively.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. Yeah. What is a CSP?
Right, so put simply, a content security policy is a standard browser security layer. Think of it like the strictest possible bouncer for your website's front door. It tells the browser exactly which domains, subdomains, and even resource types like JavaScript, CSS, images are allowed, which ones get past the velvet rope, basically.
And how does it do that?
You implement it either through an HTTP header, which is common, or sometimes a meta tag in the page's HTML.
Okay, it sounds like, you know, table stakes for security in 2024. Mm. It seems mandatory. Yet, and this is the stat that really floored me when we were prepping, despite how obviously needed this is, only about 7% of the Alexa top million sites even have a valid CSP. Just 7%.
It's incredibly low.
And it gets worse. The number that have what analysts consider a perfect policy, like really locked down, that drops to what, 2%? A tiny fraction.
Barely anyone, it's, yeah.
We really need to unpack this. Why is there such a massive gap between the need and the reality? The risks seem huge.
I think the gap comes down to people underestimating the sheer range of risks. When you let any third-party content load without restriction, you're not just facing like abstract threats. You're looking at direct financial losses. Things like costly fraud.
Like credit card skimming.
Exactly. Form jacking is a big one. Skimming data right off your checkout pages. And of course, the classic cross-site scripting, XSS attacks. Still a major problem.
But it's broader than just XSS, right? That feels like old news sometimes, even though it's still relevant.
Oh, much broader. We're seeing huge problems now with client-side malware, things that cause browser hijacking or ad injection.
Meaning my users see ads I didn't put there on my own site.
Precisely. Unauthorized ads, often malicious ones, popping up on your domain. Terrible for brand trust. And then there's the compliance nightmare. Piggyback tags.
What are those?
That's where, say, you approve one marketing vendor tag, but that tag secretly loads three other tags from vendors you've never heard of, let alone vetted. Suddenly, you're violating data privacy rules like GDPR or CCPA, and your compliance team might have no idea it's happening.
Okay, so this isn't just theoretical what-ifs.
Where?
This hits the bottom line. Hard. Our sources kept pointing to this average breach cost figure. $4.45 million. Is that realistic?
It is a widely cited figure, yeah, based on industry reports tracking the total cost.
But hang on, does that number get inflated by things like, you know, huge regulatory fines that maybe only hit the biggest players?
Yeah.
How much of that is like the actual direct damage and cleanup versus the big fines?
That's a fair question. Fines can definitely be part of it for major incidents, but the report suggests the bulk of that cost is actually direct operational impact. Think about mandatory breach notifications, forensic investigations, lost customer trust, reputational damage, the huge effort to clean up systems.
Okay.
And look at the real-world cases. Ticketmaster UK, British Airways, Newegg, all hit by major credit card skimming attacks. Attacks that, reports concluded, a well-implemented CSP could likely have prevented. These aren't just minor compliance hiccups, they're multi-million dollar operational failures.
Right, so CSP isn't just a security checkbox, it's actually a business resilience issue. You mentioned performance earlier, too. How does CSP help with site speed and user experience?
Ah, because CSP forces control and discipline. It's about preventing performance drains. So often websites become slow and laggy because they accumulate all this third-party baggage over time. Forgotten tracking pixels, old analytics scripts, vendor tags that are no longer needed but are still loading.
Yeah, digital cruft.
Exactly. Cruft that drags down load times. A CSP forces you, the developer or site owner, to explicitly declare everything that's allowed to load. So by default, all that unnecessary stuff gets blocked. It cuts the drag. The result is often a much faster, snappier experience for the user, more frictionless.
Okay, so the benefits are clear. Cost saving, risk reduction, better performance. Which brings us back to that shocking 7% adoption rate. It makes no sense. Let's tackle the big misconceptions, the myths that seem to be stopping people.
All right. Myth number one, a CSP only prevents cross-site scripting, XSS.
We hear this one a lot, don't we? Developers sometimes think, oh, we have other XSS defenses, so CSP isn't critical.
Right. And while historically XSS prevention was the main driver behind CSP's creation, its scope today is so much wider.
How?
Because it controls not just where content comes from, but also what types of content can run. So it's now a vital defense against that browser hijacking and ad injection we talked about. It stops complex fraud like form jacking. It's crucial for managing those piggyback tags and preventing compliance breaches from unauthorized data collection.
So it's really a content control policy, not just an XSS filter.
Precisely. Much broader protection.
Okay, what's next? This one feels like the biggest hurdle for technical teams. Myth number two, a CSP breaks website functionality. That fear of deploying something that takes the site down, that's real.
It is real. And let's be honest, it can happen. But only if the policy is misconfigured. An overly strict CSP, one that hasn't properly accounted for all legitimate scripts and resources, will block things it shouldn't. That causes breakage.
But isn't that the core problem? If I'm a developer under pressure, and I know building a perfect CSP is really time-consuming and tricky, isn't it just easier to use, like, those dangerous allow-all directives? Things like unsafe in line and just hope for the best. Where's the real incentive to get it perfect?
The incentive is avoiding that multi-million dollar breach we just discussed. And the key is a well-crafted CSP, one that's built based on an accurate inventory of what should be running. When you build it correctly, it doesn't break things. It enforces discipline. It actually improves performance and stability by ensuring only necessary approved resources are loaded.
So breakage isn't inherent to CSPs. It's a symptom of poor implementation.
Exactly. When done right, it's an enhancement, not a risk.
Got it. Let's move to myth number three. A CSP is only for large organizations or high-risk applications. The idea that, you know, maybe only banks or big e-commerce sites really need this level of security.
Yeah, that's a common thought, but it's completely false. Think about it. If your website loads even one external resource, maybe just a simple analytics tag or a font from Google Fonts or a social media share button, you have a third-party dependency. You have introduced an external element that needs control.
So any external script, any tag at all, means you could benefit.
Absolutely. CSP benefits sites of all sizes. It should really be applied across all pages, not just sensitive ones like checkout or login. Every site gains from providing a safer user experience, protecting its data, and guarding its brand reputation. Size doesn't matter here.
Okay. Myth number four.
Myth number four, only security teams or web developers should care about CSPs. This perception that it's purely a technical back-end issue.
Right, but it clearly has wider implications. Who else needs to be involved or aware?
Oh, several teams. Think about marketing, for instance. They rely on analytics tags working correctly, but they also need to ensure their carefully planned user journeys aren't disrupted by malware injecting competitor ads, right? They need assurance that the content users see is actually their intended on-brand content.
Makes sense. And leadership.
Senior leadership absolutely cares. Or they should. It directly impacts the company's security posture, the brand's reputation, and ultimately that potential $4.45 million cost of a breach hits their budget.
And compliance officers, obviously.
Definitely. For compliance directors, a properly implemented and managed CSP is gold. It provides a concrete, verifiable way to demonstrate control over data flows, especially data collected by third parties. That's essential for regulations like GDPR, CCPA, you name it. It's as much a compliance tool as it is a security tool.
Okay, final one. Myth number five. A CSP is a set it and forget it solution. The idea you can just implement it once and tick the box.
Yeah, and this is probably one of the most dangerous myths. Websites are not static, they're living things. Content changes constantly, marketing adds new tools, developers update libraries, vendors push updates to their scripts.
And new threats pop up all the time.
Exactly. The threat landscape evolves. Those five friction forces, security, privacy, compliance, performance, availability, They're always shifting. A CSP policy written 6 months ago, even if it was perfect then, is almost certainly outdated now. It likely has gaps. If you're not continuously monitoring, reviewing violations, and updating the policy, it degrades. It becomes ineffective. Those holes in the Swiss cheese just open right back up.
So continuous vigilance is key. It's an ongoing process, not a one-time project.
Absolutely essential. So, okay, we've established it's critical, it's broad, it needs ongoing work, which brings us full circle to why that adoption rate is so pitifully low. The hard truth is, doing this manually is just brutally difficult for most teams.
Talk us through that. What makes manual implementation so tough?
Well, first, you have to somehow map out every single domain and subdomain, both your own and all the third parties that load resources onto your pages. And not just the domains, but the types of resources they load. Is it JavaScript, CSS, fonts, images? From where? Just creating that initial inventory is incredibly tedious. It's error prone. It can literally take a dedicated team days, sometimes weeks, just to get a first draft.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a huge task manually. And then the CSP itself is complicated code. A robust policy often requires dozens of lines specifying all these sources and types. There's almost no room for error. One typo, one missed resource, and you can either break the site, like we discussed, or leave a massive security hole open, making the policy useless.
And the maintenance sounds like a nightmare, too.
It is. Every time your team pushes a site update or a third-party vendor changes their tag, someone has to remember to check. They need to potentially update the CSP, test it, redeploy it. You're supposed to be constantly watching browser console logs for violation reports. It's a massive ongoing resource drain that most organizations just can't sustain effectively with manual methods.
Okay, so the manual process is slow, error-prone, hard to maintain. It sounds almost designed to fail in a dynamic web environment, which is why I assume we're seeing this big shift towards automated CSP management tool.
Exactly. The complexity basically demands automation.
We even heard about this concept, the caffeinated challenge. What's that?
Huh? Yeah, it's this idea that once an automated tool collects all the necessary domain and resource data systematically, you can actually generate a comprehensive, robust CSP policy faster than you can order and wait for a complicated coffee at a busy cafe. It highlights how automation removes that huge bottleneck of manual discovery and coding. It takes the human error element out.
Okay, so how does an automated approach work then? Walk us through the steps.
It generally boils down to four streamlined phases, making it manageable and accurate. Phase one is inventory your site's domains. The automated tool actively discovers and catalogs all first and third-party domains loading resources on your site in real time. It sees what's actually happening live, not just what developers think is happening. And crucially, it often provides insights into who owns these domains, what pages they load on, what specific files are being pulled.
And that inventory alone must be incredibly valuable, right? Not just for CSP.
Oh, absolutely. Just having that real-time list is gold for, say, your compliance director. Yeah. Suddenly, they have a verifiable audit trail of every single entity potentially accessing user data on the site. That's huge for privacy assessments and vendor risk management.
Okay, so you have the inventory. What's phase two?
Phase two is determine domains to whitelist. Instead of wrestling with code, you review the discovered domains, usually through a much simpler interface. Often it's like a user-friendly checklist. You go through the list, mark domains as approved or denied, and importantly, you can specify what kinds of resources each approved domain is allowed to load, scripts, styles, images, etc. It allows for that granular control we talked about.
Much less intimidating than writing code directives.
Much less. Then phase three is auto-generate your CSP. Once you've approved your whitelist, and good systems often have approval workflows, maybe multi-factor authentication for CHOLs, changes the tool automatically generates the actual CSP. It writes the correctly formatted, comprehensive HTTP header and or meta tag based precisely on your approved rules.
But it handles a complex coding part. Takes that error potential away.
Exactly. It removes that technical burden and the fear of accidentally causing breakage through a typo.
And the final step.
Phase four is deploy and stay secure. You took the generated policy and deploy it. Once active, it starts blocking anything not on your approved list, unknown domains, malicious scripts. But crucially, most tools offer a report-only mode first.
Ah, so you can test it safely.
Right. You deploy the policy in report-only mode. It doesn't actually block anything yet. Instead, it just sends violation reports whenever something would have been blocked by the policy. This lets you monitor it, see if you missed any legitimate resources, fine-tune the whitelist, all without impacting the live site. Once you're confident it's correct, you flip the switch to enforce mode, and it starts actively blocking unauthorized content.
That sounds much more manageable. phased control rollout.
It makes deployment far less risky and much more achievable. Hashtag TatchTac outro. So really, when you synthesize all this, implementing and maintaining a CSP is probably the single most impactful proactive step you can take today to safeguard your customers, protect your brand reputation, and ensure that user experience is secure and fast. It's about taking control of all that third-party content and mitigating those risks, from data skimming right down to performance drags caused by ad injection or just, well, cruft.
Absolutely. So if we were to boil it down, the key takeaways for you, our listeners, are pretty clear. First, CSP is not just some obscure technical thing for the IT basement. It's an operational necessity. It impacts marketing, compliance, senior leadership, everyone who cares about revenue, customer trust, and brand safety.
Right. It directly protects the customer journey and ultimately the bottom line.
Second, it's only truly effective if it's treated as a living asset. It needs continuous management, ongoing monitoring. That set it and forget it approach just doesn't work. It needs automation to be sustainable.
Continuous adaptation is key.
So we'll leave you with maybe one final provocative thought to chew on. Given everything we've discussed, the clear risks of unrestricted third-party content, the potential for multi-million dollar breaches, the performance hits.
How much is that hidden complexity, that potential lack of control over third-party tags, actually costing your business right now in terms of slow performance, lost conversions, maybe even undetected data leakage?
How much revenue-robbing friction and exposure is lurking just beneath the surface? Because maybe, just maybe, you're underestimating what's really running on your own website. It's a bill that one way or another eventually comes due. Something to think about.